Briggs Auto Lane
and BriggsAuto.com.
Get in the game.
Here we go.
Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner. I promise you the show today won't suck as much as listening to the Royals game. Royals lose 9-1 to the Twins. We will kick around the two big storylines with the Royals here in the opening segment. Plus, start what a lot of the discussion is going to be today, and that is Alex Delton. We'll hear from him in the 5-10 segment. He met with some of us in the media yesterday, but is he going to be passed over in the quarterback race at K-State? That's the subject of the poll question that you can vote on at JL Kurtz, the game KMAN, both of those locations on Twitter. You can find it. Will Alex Delton ever start a game at quarterback at K-State? So we've got spring football for you. We'll talk a little linebackers at 5:25. Mitch has the Jabroni of the Week today. We have a special cover 5 at 4:40 that our man Brady is furiously working on in the back studio. I hope it's ready for you at 4:40. If not, I guess we just move on. But
be sure, a darn shame.
I'm sure his fans will be very excited about that. 537-1350, 866-776-1350 to call the show. If you have questions or comments, as always, of course, you can feel free to tweet us at the Game KMAN as well. Mitch Fortner back today and actually showing up, not ditching my phone calls. Not trying to avoid the Wrestling Hot Takes segment.
Didn't do it on purpose, my
Mitch
friend.
Is here in studio, live and in person.
After Monday Night Raw, maybe had a few too many drinks, went to bed, had to get ready for a very early flight, so it was a short night of rest, and as soon as I got home, fell right asleep.
I expected to see you here in a WrestleMania t-shirt.
I haven't bought one yet.
You're going to buy one after
you
the
don't,
fact?
See, that yeah. Seems to me like a jabroni thing to do, buying the t-shirt, right? Like, that's if Dude. You've gone to a bunch of WrestleManias, you don't need the t-shirt, do you?
No, I don't buy one every year. I just, if I see one I like, I get it. If it looks cool, I don't usually buy the, they have some online that you can't buy there, and so that's what I usually go for. But I wait till it, you know, they go cheaper because they're pretty expensive online.
Okay, well, we'll save the rest of the wrestling talk for 450. I'll give my hot takes. We'll do the wacky and stormy on the sports massacre style hot take roundtable for WrestleMania at 4:50. The Royals lose 9-1 to the Minnesota Twins, and there are two things going on here right now. You have the offense struggling mightily. It scored 2 runs in 2 games, and the bullpen has given up 12 runs in 2 games. So I think to me, the bigger issue and the thing that I'm more concerned about is the bullpen, simply because it was perceived as a bigger weakness than the lineup going into the season. So having seen it now really falter for 2 straight ball games, that to me becomes a big concern. Offense, I think, is that has more of a tendency to fluctuate. I'm more willing to write that off and not worry about it quite as much. You've got Mike Moustakas getting back into the lineup, like Brandon Moss trying to readjust, even though I guess he wasn't in the lineup today. But, you know, point being,
Jorge Soler is on the DL.
Right, Jorge Soler's on the DL. You know, they'd already traded away Wade Davis, so you don't have the return piece in that actually out there right now. I would fear that more. Now, I'm not saying panic and freak out because, again, it's game 2. It's the first series of the year. But this is now disconcerting. It is certainly disconcerting to see the bullpen, and in particular Matt Strom, be the guy who has given up runs in 2 straight games out of the bullpen.
Well, I certainly am concerned about the bullpen, but it's the offense that has disappointed me more to this point, even though it's only been 2 games. And you just kind of mentioned it. I mean, we thought that the bigger weakness would be the bullpen, so therefore when the bullpen doesn't perform very well, it doesn't get my attention as much, even though they do need to shore that up, definitely. But the offense is not great thus far, and it's specifically the team that they are going against. The Minnesota Twins had the worst team ERA in baseball last year, the worst starter ERA in baseball. You know, the Royals have given up 16 runs through 2 games, which is the most in franchise history. But they've also scored 2 runs through 2 games, which is tied for the fewest in franchise history. So it really goes both ways, and I think that the bullpen has more ability right now to bounce back than maybe the offense does, because right now Escobar, you know, batting zeros, the bottom half of the lineup has yet to have a hit through the first 2 games. Alex Gordon has certainly not looked like he's recovered much from his awful season last year. So just 2 games, but I have really not liked what I've seen from the Royals lineup.
Well, I'll float you this. The Royals made the World Series, Game 7 of the World Series in 2014 with a pretty bad offense. I mean, offense has never really been the strong point here. They built it all on the bullpen, predominantly defense, and, you know, in some ways starting pitching. So if you're following the formula that they've had recently, not having all that much offense hasn't been all that much of a hindrance to them. Now, it would be easier, and I think obviously this year with the bullpen being weaker perception-wise going into the season, you're probably going to need the offense to step its game up as well. There are a lot of moving parts here. But that's part of what gives me more peace with the offense is just like, well, that's not really what they're built to do. They're not built to mash the ball all around the yard. They're built to play defense and pitch and let the bullpen take over.
Well, in 2014, yeah, they didn't have a great offense, but they did have HDH, and so they didn't necessarily need one. And I think that this year I wouldn't say they need a great offense, but they certainly need a better offense than they had last year. And while I think that there is the potential there in that lineup, you know, I love Salvador Perez and Lorenzo Cain and Eric Hosmer and everybody else, but it seems like when the Royals go cold, they go really cold, like colder beyond what the typical fluctuations are for a major league team over the course of a season. And you don't want to do that when this first month of the season is so critical, when you're playing some of your easier teams on the schedule before it's expected to get a lot tougher in June and July.
You're
not buying into that.
You've used that
at all.
2 days in a row. Yeah. If I could never hear a baseball scheduling talking point again, I would die a happy man.
Look at it this way. The Cleveland Indians were projected by all 35 ESPN experts to be the AL Central champion. And those 2 months are when you're playing. Those 2 months are when you're playing the most games against the Indians. Plus, you have road trips to Toronto and Boston and some of those good teams out of the AL East. I don't think that it's that much of a stretch to look at that on the schedule and say we should probably go ahead and take care of our business against teams like the Twins at home or at Target Field, regardless of where you're playing them. Because those games are still there and they're going to be tougher to win at.
Yeah, I mean, look, I get it. Like, the Twins are probably not going to be very good. They went 19-4 against the Twins last year. They did beat up on the Twins even at a 500 season. So, yes, point taken on that. I just wouldn't expand it to, like, hey, we got to break down the schedule and like it's baseball. You know, that's why it's a phrase that gets thrown around all the time, but it's baseball. It's 162 games. So, like, we don't know what all the teams are going to be necessarily on the schedule. But is it disappointing to be getting worked right now by the Twins? Yes, it is. Is it something that's going to make you feel good no matter how much it actually matters in the grand scheme of things? No, it's not going to be something that makes you feel good. So I understand having some definite concerns right now. I mean, I had concerns about the team going into the season. To be honest with you, I wasn't really expecting them to come out here and have the script be flipped where they win 7-1 and 9-1. That was not really my expectation with this Royals team.
First time in 10 years the Twins have been 2-0 to start the season.
Hey, yeah, not that 0-9 start.
That's right.
Last year,
I forgot about that. Yeah,
congrats, Twins fans. We can talk a little baseball, but the rest of the show, it's going to be a lot of spring football because I think that's a little more exciting to talk about right now than the Royals. And I don't know if this maybe falls under the category of exciting just for the mere fact that the reason this is a topic, the reason that we're talking a lot about Alex Delton today on the show is because K-State's in a great spot with depth at quarterback. I said this to you when we were preparing this. I think that what K-State has right now, a quarterback, is like the ideal NFL quarterback situation. And I don't mean that K-State has like three NFL quarterbacks. But in the NFL, you generally think of you're going to have your frontline starter. You're going to have your backup being an experienced guy that you would at least trust to not totally crash the ship if he had to go in there. And then your third-string quarterback is the young up-and-coming guy that is the future. Well, what does K-State have right now? They've got Jesse Ertz, the established quarterback, the guy who helped them win 9 games last year. They've got the backup that is Alex Delton, who's now been here 3-plus years, who has experience, knows the system, has gotten his feet wet out there, and I think most of us would feel like he wouldn't totally crash the Lambo if he's given the keys. Now, maybe Lambo's too strong for the K-State offense, but you catch my drift. And then you have Skylar Thompson, who's supposed to be the future, and the young up-and-coming guy is the third-string quarterback. It's a pretty good spot, but that also leaves Alex Delton in a very interesting scenario, and that is being the guy that's not the right now or what everybody thinks is the future. He's just in between and is still seemingly a decent enough quarterback, but he's in this weird area right now between Thompson and Ertz.
K-State's offense is a Ford F-150, by the way. Just
okay, that's a better – yes, that's much better. Thank you.
But the interesting thing to me as you talk about this is how different we are phrasing K-State's quarterback situation now versus a year ago. Because I think a year ago, leading into the spring game, a lot of K-State fans – maybe you'll disagree with this, but I think it would just be because it's so hard to believe – a lot of K-State fans were saying, hopefully we can get through this 2016 season with Jesse Ertz and then full pedal to the metal, Alex Delton, the future is here in 2017 and 2018. And then,
Or Skylar Thompson.
Right.
Thompson's had buzz since he stepped on campus.
Sure, but it was more about get through 2016 with Jesse Ertz, then we can go full speed ahead probably with Alex Delton, and then at that point between 17 and 18 is where the Thompson debate really heats up. But the fact that we're sitting here with Jesse Ertz being your bona fide number one guy without any shadow of a doubt is really pretty surprising just thinking about where we were a year ago.
And he's now out for the spring, so
right.
The reason that Delton comes up here is because, yes, Jesse Ertz is established. We know what he is. It's just not really all that intriguing. I mean, we could sit here and speculate, I guess, about what he's going to do next year, the big jump. We know that quarterbacks in year two as a starter under Snyder have always taken huge jumps. There's the numbers to back it up. There's the wins to back it up. But that, I think the time to talk about that is more in the fall because we're just not going to see much of Ertz. You know, we played the audio from Snyder yesterday. It's not likely that he's going to do much. I'm sure that he wouldn't be playing in the spring game. So he's going to be out of sight, out of mind, and now it's the valuable reps that Alex Delton and Skylar Thompson get here. But, you know, I think Alex Delton has gone from, he at one point in time was Skylar Thompson, where he was the guy that everybody wanted to wait and have him develop, and it's just... this is a good example in sports of just how quickly things change and how we are in society, I guess, really, with getting distracted by the next shiny toy. K-State got another shiny toy in behind them that people now think has more shine to it, and Alex Delton is in some ways the forgotten man because Skylar Thompson's the one that really – well, Alex Delton's taking the number one snaps right now and probably will take more throughout the spring, has more experience, has a much better chance of being out on the field this upcoming season. Now, Skylar Thompson's where the real discussion is going to be, but what happens now to Delton? That's my big question.
Right.
What happens now to Delton?
And it is a good question. And you know, I go back to the 2015 season and how disappointed people were that he got hurt in that UTSA game because by the time the season started to go down the drain a little bit, yes, they did rally and make it to a bowl game, but it was looking bad, and fans wanted to see Alex Delton out there as the quarterback because they wanted to see the future and they wanted him to get that experience. And now I think if you ask the fans who they would want to see in that spot, you may see more fans say Skylar Thompson because they believe that he is more of the future, even though Alex Delton probably, as of today, would give the team the better chance to win. But you want the guy out there that you feel can be an all-Big 12 caliber quarterback someday, and it just seems like we've come to the conclusion with Alex Delton that that day probably isn't going to come, at least unless his passing arm has developed a lot more than we anticipate it has over the last several months.
Well, I would say based on what we know right now, the knowledge that we have from having seen him in a limited capacity, knowing that Skylar Thompson is there and knowing that Jesse Ertz is there, and for right now, Jesse Ertz is going to be the guy all year. We don't know if he's going to be hurt this upcoming season or not. It seems unlikely to me, if I'm going to answer our own poll question, it seems very unlikely to me that Alex Delton ever starts a game at quarterback here at K-State. Which leads me to what the next conversation, the next part of this conversation is going to be that we'll get really in-depth to at 5:10, and that is he going to be a guy that will be willing to accept a role where you're the backup quarterback and maybe you have a package that works in there as well? We saw a little bit of it last year where they would throw him out there to run the ball like a Wildcat type of thing, and I hate even calling it Wildcat at this point in time, but is he going to be a guy that will be willing to accept that type of role? Because I think that is where this thing is headed. So we'll talk more about that at 5:10. We've got special Cover 5, Tony Romo salute edition at 4:40 from our friend Brady. But when we come back, we will look into that poll question, the results as of right now. Plus, Fran Fraschilla backs up one of my favorite theories that we go back and forth with all the time here on the show. You're listening to The Game.